Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm a music major. Killed three people in three different states.
and they gave him a life sentence on the charges. So I don't think they could really prove he killed his first wife or someone else in another state, but the best friend or the friend and business partner, he killed her, and they had evidence. So they give him this life sentence. I think September 2021, if I'm not mistaken. So a few days ago, he died, had a heart attack, and got up out of here. And they were stating that when it's like that, I think a federal prosecutor said they just wipe his slate clean, like he never did nothing. And this woman had relatives. I know she had a cousin and a second cousin, you know. And if they just wipe the slate clean like nothing happened, this is crazy to me. Yeah. He did it. It should go down in the book, in history, that this is what this man did. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got you, Evangelist Maven. Yeah. So I posted it, for those on Facebook, I posted it to my news feed. And check it out over there. Robert Durst. I was just floored to read that like that. But that brings me to this point. Today is, and my book is bad, the world has gotten wickeder and wiser. And nothing is of worth, if you look at it, in the world, of the world. Jesus and his word and prayer, these are things of great worth, but the world don't see it. And many so-called Christians and believers won't see it because they're in the world and they are of the world. But we are the believers, the Christians, the people of God, the saints of God. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're just passing through. Basically, this is our workstation. This is where we work. And one day we're going to clock out down here for the last time. And we're going to stand before the great judge. Now, some of us, when we wake up, he'll bring us with him to judge the world. Uh-huh. I'm praying to be one of those people that come back with him to judge the world. But we got to live a life before him that's pleasing unto him. Any and every old thing can't come and judge. Any and every old thing will not be in heaven. We accept any and every old thing he does not, simply because he don't kill us. He don't strike us down. It does not mean he accepts it. Mm-mm. And in 2021, we got to open our eyes and focus more on him and his word. Focus more on going to the book of James and asking him for wisdom. Because the scripture over there teaches us if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally, freely, and upbraideth not. So check it out over there when you can. James chapter 1, verse 5. I began to pray for wisdom in his word, wisdom to know when he's speaking to you, wisdom to follow his lead, because he want to lead and guide us into all truth. He want to take us the right way. Of course, there will be trials that come, but the trials only come to make us strong. It's not a punishment. It's not to put us down. It's not God hate us. It will strengthen us and give us life lessons, great lessons, because there would be another trial after this one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I try to remind us of these things, because a lot of times we get to going, and over here this is going on, over there that is going on, and we just want to throw up our hands or throw the towel in, as they say sometimes, and just walk away. Don't do that. Pray through your trial. Ask God to give you the lesson from the trial. Lord, what does this trial mean? Yeah, why am I in this trial? Because if you notice, if you went to school, after every lesson, after the teacher talked so much, she gave you a test. And what the test was to do is to prove that you had learned what she taught. If you failed the test, many times she would allow you to take that test over. Sometimes you could not take it over, depending on what the test was about, the lesson was about. But with God, he will always allow us, in many cases, to take the test over again. And we got to study and prepare for the test. Now we got the answers. Now we understand what the teacher taught us, what we were to learn. So this is a great thing. A trial is a great thing. A trial from God is excellent. We just have to learn how to endure and go through our trials without grumbling and complaining. Strengthen me, Lord. Help me to endure this trial. Help me to get the lesson from the trial. I want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. In other words, what pleases you and the things that you can accept. Because God just don't accept any and every old thing. Yeah. And so it's all right today. In Jesus' name, this morning we're going to have Pastor Terry K. Anderson, and his message is an interview from hell. An interview from hell is his message for today. So listen, we're going to pray, and I have one more request this morning, and afterwards we'll come back and finish up our morning devotion. Hallelujah. But that just shocked me real bad. Robert Durst killed a woman. They suspect he killed his first wife. She's missing. And killed someone else. In three different states, he's killed people. Got the life sentence. And died a few days ago. Yeah. So we're going to talk and continue. But let's pray this morning, the prayer of faith. And I'm asking the intercessors to touch and agree with me today. And it will be all right. Well, it's already all right in Jesus' name. We just trust him, keep the faith, and keep going. And I have some things that I need to take care of. So I solicit your prayers that you would pray for finances and pray that I get all done that I need to get done today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning thanking you for another Tuesday morning. Father, we thank you for our life, health, and strength. Thank you for the use and activities of our limbs. Father, we thank you for being closed in our right minds. Hallelujah. You woke us up this morning with plans, your plans. And Father, help us to remember that you have a plan for our day. And help us to follow your plan. Help us to follow your lead. And Father, guide us in the right path for your name's sake. Because your name is only good will come from it in the name of Jesus. Help us to remember our trials come to make us strong. It's not a punishment. You don't hate us. It's not the devil. But your trials come to make us stronger than we are right now, because we must be strong in this walk with you. And Father, our desire is to walk in the spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Strengthen us in this area, O God, that, Lord, we will do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. For on that great and notable day, Father, when we stand before you, we want to hear you say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Father, many of us want to come back with you when you come to judge the world. Strengthen us, O God, that we'll get things in order with you. Not with the world, not with our family, not with how we feel, but God, we will get these things in order with you. That when you look upon us, it pleases you. We ask this morning in the name of Jesus. But Father, without you, we can do nothing. And we need your help. We can't do it without you, Lord. We thank you this day that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petition known unto you. And today, Father, we are asking you to bless every caller and every listener. Father, bless those that's coming through the archives and the podcast. We ask this morning that you would bless their families and friends near and far. Father, we ask today that you would cover them in the blood of Jesus. No matter what come up, it won't see them, but it will see your blood. And your blood made the difference at Calvary. God, let it make the difference today in the name of Jesus for the sake of your people. And give us favor like never before. But God, no matter where we go, no matter what comes our way, favor will bless us. Your favor, the favor of Almighty God. Father, we ask that you would do it for us this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, help us to keep our mind on you today. For it's you that will keep us in perfect peace. And Lord, your favor will follow us. In the name of Jesus, we ask. We come this morning, bow down before you, asking, Father, that you would heal the sick that's here today. Lord, touch and heal. Remember those, God, that have COVID and this new variant of whatever this is that's out here. God, we ask that you would open up your people's breathing path. That God, they would freely breathe because you made the body to naturally breathe. We ask this morning that God, you would remove the pain for any that's going through pain today. In the name of Jesus, whatever manner of sickness or disease it is today, Father, we ask that you would heal right now. In the name of Jesus, there's no healing that you can't do. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. And Father, we're calling upon you. We ask this morning that you would move in healing by your spirit in the name of Jesus. You said by your spirit you would go. And Father, today heal your people by your spirit, near and far. Men are suffering, oh God, with things they have no clue about. Touch and heal this morning. Again, we ask in the name of Jesus, whatever the sickness may be. Father, we ask today that God, you would bless those that are incarcerated, oh God. Bless their families. Move by your spirit for them today. Wake up those that are asleep. Lord, let those that are lost find you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would bless men and women in every branch of the military. Bless their families this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, bring them in a place of peace. Help right now today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people, Israel and Jerusalem, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, our brothers and sisters overseas everywhere. And Lord, especially those who can't pray in the open, who can't mention your name in the open, can't say your word in the open. Father, we ask that you would send your fighting angels to stand and fight for these your people in the name of Jesus, that your word would go forth, that your work would be done. We ask this morning that you would continue to bless America and the leadership of America. And Father, in this country, wake us all up. You've been good to America, better than we could ever be to ourselves. And Father, we need you, and we need to come back to you wholeheartedly. Without you, the people can't come back. They're perishing for the lack of knowledge. And Father, many don't like the truth. They fight because they don't like the truth. Many think it's their thing, Father. They do what they want to do. But you made them for your pleasure. And Father, we know you know every key. You know every place. You know how to bring us all back to you. We know that you won't force us, but God, you're a great persuader. Persuade every American back to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. And Father, bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today. Move by your spirit in a mighty way. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word here today, oh God. And God, we will obey it. That we will walk according to your word in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless Pastor Anderson wherever he may be today and bless his family in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. And Father, we give you the praise. And Lord, help every American today. But Lord, if we're sleeping, many are sleeping sound asleep. And Father, too much is going on to be sleep. You promised that you was coming back, and we know not a day, not an hour. And God, we want to prepare daily for your return, but many are sleeping. Wake your people up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you the honor. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For there's none like you. We ask it all again this morning in your son Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We can't say thank you enough. Oh, we thank you for being on our side today in spite of us. We thank you for your favor, oh God. Thank you for putting us in places where we never knew that we could be. Thank you for taking good care of us. Hallelujah. Things could be so much worse. Oh, we give you glory this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's none like him. Hallelujah. I'm like Vashawn Mitchell this morning. You can search all over. You won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God that have all power. Hallelujah. And I know he's in the healing business. Hallelujah. He healed me. Oh, yeah, that knee is much better than it was. The only thing I can feel every now and then is when Dr. Moshe restuck me with the needle to put the cortisone in there. Other than that, the knee is doing much better than it was. And I'm so thankful unto Almighty God. I thank him that the pound's coming off and, you know, I haven't gone back to eating crazy and everything. So I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful this morning unto him. I feel so much better with the weight coming off like that. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel even a bit lighter because I was heavy and I was bound. But God set me free. And he told me, he healed me already. But I kept going back and eating what it took not to be healed, but to be sick. Hallelujah. And when I consulted him and I asked him for help, he did it for me. And he's no respecter of persons this morning. He will do it for you. Yeah, it's a mindset. And I told myself, don't let food kill you. You'll be gone and food will still be here. You can eat, but you need to eat to live and not live to eat. And the Lord blessed me, and I'm so grateful unto him. Drinking lots of water. Yeah, I love orange juice, but it run the blood sugar up so I couldn't drink it. So now I tried a fourth of a glass, and it did absolutely nothing. But I won't continue every day, you know, to drink a fourth of a glass. That's not what I want to do. But, you know, maybe every 2 weeks or so, or once a week, I might have a fourth of a glass. And it may get to the point where I can have a half a glass, and it won't affect my blood sugar. Feet went down. Feet swole so big, they looked as if they were bigger than my head. That's from all the sugar and the salt and the bread and the cake and the pies and the this and the that and the fried stuff. Cut that out, took that out, took sugar out. I still have me some bread, toasted. And then if I eat bread, I try to eat pumpernickel. It's really good for those with diabetes. I mean, you can't go hog wild on the bread now because I love bread. But you could have two slices of pumpernickel or a slice of pumpernickel and make yourself an open face sandwich. Or you can toast it and have it for breakfast with a boiled egg, you know, or a couple of eggs, you know, scrambled with nothing in them. No oil, no butter, no nothing. Get you a stickless pan that they don't stick to the pan and have eggs and a piece of toast or just a piece of bread if you like it that way. You can have a round sausage patty, and that's it. Drink you some water. If you need something on your toast, put a little peanut butter, if you can stand it, on your toast, because the egg and peanut butter is going to give you energy all day and keep you feeling fuller. Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Yeah, processed orange juice has added sugar. It does. And so I just love it, though. I just love the taste of it. That Florida orange juice. And so I was able to drink a little bit, but not go hog wild. I can eat anything I want, but it must be in moderation. See, before when I would have a leg and a thigh, after I eat the fried chicken, the leg and the thigh, I'm looking back because I need the wing. Well, really, that's almost a half a chicken. Yeah. So I cut all that out and I bake everything. And if I'm going to eat baked chicken, even with some seasonings on it, and I let it set a couple of days marinate, then I bake it. It's full of flavor. And I may just have the chicken. No vegetables, no bread, no starches. If I'm going to have a starch, then maybe I have a potato with some ground beef mixture, like thick, like you would make spaghetti sauce. And I would put that over my potato, a little bit of light cheese, and let that melt, and that's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. Now, if I wanted a small salad with that, I probably could. But if I eat one thing, I stick with that and nothing else. And drink lots of water. All the snacking I used to do during the day, and I cut that out too. Yeah. Look here, Bro Mike and Bro Louis, and both of you need to stop. Louis talking about fried chicken with his tongue hanging out. Bro Mike said, I won't give up a fried chicken. But guess what? You can even make the chicken taste like fried chicken in the oven. Yeah, you can. You can put your little oil in the pan and dry your chicken up good, season it up, and put it in the little, spread the little oil, maybe a teaspoon of oil. That's all you need now. How many know the skin on the chicken is greasy? So it'll pull grease out of the chicken to help it fry in the oven. And so I don't eat it no more. I try to stay away from these things, because when you gain all that weight like I gained, you have to really stay focused and do some things to make sure you're getting it off. Because, see, my kind of person, the least little thing will throw me backwards. Yeah, if I tell myself, well, go in there and just have you get you a slice of cake from Publix, one slice, and just have your little ice cream with that. When I know anything, I'm looking for a second slice. No. I know myself, and I'm not going to put myself in temptation's way. So I thank God for what he's doing in me and for me. Yeah. Because I was sick at one point here. Yeah, goodness. So the Lord is faithful. And I thank him for feeling better. I'm doing my side twists in the morning and my knee lifts. Yeah. A few days ago, I could not do last month. What? Lift that knee? Are you crazy? That knee put me down, so I wasn't able to do it. But now that I've gotten pounds, noticeable pounds off, I can lift my legs, do my leg lifts. That helped the bottom of the stomach to come back in. No stretch marks, no flabby hanging over fat. And I'm 64. We'll turn 65 next month. But if you do it right, even my arms, you know, do your arm exercises. Sitting in a chair. And you're going to see a noticeable difference, a good noticeable difference. Yeah, because we want to live and not die. We have work to get done. And that's what I told myself, too. How are you going to help somebody and you can't walk? How are you going to help somebody and you so heavy? If something happened to you and you go to the hospital, it'll take 3 or 4 people to lift you, to put you on a stretcher. Yeah, they'll be angry with you because you don't have to be this big. So I started working on that. And I'm so thankful unto the Lord. He heard my cry. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe that Sister Dot has come in. And I'm going to dedicate this song to her this morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with words of encouragement. And then we're going in with Pastor Terry K. Anderson this morning. And take a listen to the interview from hell. Hallelujah. Reverend James Cleveland this morning, and God is, hallelujah, yes he is, Sister Dot, he's our all and all, he's more than we need, hallelujah, if we can but trust him and believe this morning. I was looking again at this article on Robert Durst, and killed his best friend. His wife come up, first wife come up missing. They say he killed her. And then they said there was one more person that they believe he killed. A few days ago, he died. Died with a life sentence in prison. My goodness. A millionaire. He was a millionaire. They called him a disgraceful millionaire. Yeah. And it just caused me, you know, to just look, because today, just the way that it appears to be, it just appears to be that man, meaning men and women, has lost touch with reality. And when I say lost touch with reality, the reality that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that God made man, and he made the woman too. So when I look at Genesis, God had a plan. When I look at Genesis 1 and 5, well, 1 and 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If we go down to 15, it says, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it up and to keep it. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he meant that man would die to being innocent. He would die to not knowing bad or evil, you know, of that which is wrong. God made everything. Took the man and put him to sleep. And took the rib from his side and made one man. He gave rules and regulations for us until this day. Later on, you see he So man was just going to continue to be evil. So he put commandments in place, rules and regulations for man to follow so that he could be in right standings with Almighty God, and Almighty God could continue to take care of man. Because when they were in the garden, they didn't worry about a job. They didn't worry about food. They didn't worry about shelter, clothes. God had prepared all of that for them. But as man allowed the devil to tempt him and fell into temptation, he became evil. He became wicked. He became wiser. And that continues on today. And so at one point, God said he wouldn't always strive with man because the very intent of man's heart was evil. He shared it with Noah, and he brought the rain forth for 40 days and 40 nights and destroyed everything. All of that which he told Noah to take into the ark with him. So this is what I say. Put your time in now. Put your time in with God now. Payday is coming. And when we see blessings and miracles, it's our payday. God wake us up every morning. That's payday. Closing our right minds. That's payday. Using activity of our limbs. Many of us may not have them all, but we got enough and we yet have life. And as long as we're living, there's a chance. And if we go to God in what we call sincere prayer from a sincere heart and ask him for what you want and mean it and believe God and let it go, God will deliver for you. He'll heal your body. Whatever you need, he's able to do it. He's got all power. He made the heavens and the earth. But when we look out today, it appears man has lost touch with reality. It's a do whatever makes you feel good. And that's what people telling other people to do. Even those in high power, those in leadership. No regards or respect for anyone or anything. No sir, no ma'am. No respect for even themselves. Whatever you feel, if you want to hate or turn yourself into whatever you want to do. You decide to turn yourself into. You can be a snake if you want to, a dog, into anything. Whatever you want to do, whatever you feel that you want to be or you want to do, do it. And they say no one should have anything to say about it. But he made us a human being race. And there are things he put in us. Yeah. They have no thought for God. No human morals, no human decency. And see, God designed human beings to be different from animals and to know their place and worth. Yeah. This is what he did for us, to make us unique and different. I'm different from a dog. I'm different from a lion. I require shelter. I require furniture. A lion don't care, an elephant don't care about a couch, nor a TV. I care about it. A couch is a comfortable place for me to sit. A TV is entertainment when I want entertainment. He made me different. I was born a female. God made them both male and female, made he them. Uh-huh. Today, money, stuff, and things is what reigns. And the more you have, the more you're looked up to. Not respected, but you are favored because of what you have. Never knowing how people got it, all they see is they driving a Benz. They don't see the struggle to pay for it for some people. All they see is that people have a home. They don't know the struggle to pay for it. Electric, water, they don't know the struggle. But they look up to these people because they have more. And again, they don't know how the people got it. It could be by murder. It could be by stealing, lying, cheating. They don't care. They got the stuff. They got the money. They got the things. And this is what they follow. And today, so many people follow what they see on TV. They can't get enough of evil. They can't get enough of raunchiness, ugliness. They can't get enough. That's why all these type shows are on TV, because it's what people who are supposed to be human beings, this is what they like. But God said, man's heart, the intent of it is evil. He can't get enough of evil. He can't get enough of looking at the president and his wife being just, oh my goodness, so dirty, it's unreal. People come together today because of what they can have. No love, no caring for one another. I care for you as long as you got a job and you're bringing in the income I need you to bring so that we both can drive a new car. We both can have live in the house on the hill with a dog named Fluffy. Many times people send their children abroad to school so that they can say, my child have the best education. But your child have education but no real common sense. And because they don't have real common sense, the world snatch your child. They go into adulthood, and when you look at them, you're like, that's not the way I raised them. That's not the way I intended it. Well, you didn't give them God. You gave them education. Now they messed up in many ways. It is as if the people's minds are completely gone. Yeah. You must be careful today, even speaking to people. How you doing? Be careful. Good morning. Be careful. That's a real nice dress. Be careful. Driving is an art. It's an art today to drive. And please don't say anything to anybody about anything. They just may shoot you for being kind. If you speak against what's wrong, you're the worst thing in the world. When I tell you they will gang up on you, you got people that go around looking at other people. Today they're good. You know, they was evil back in the day, but God has changed these people, and they're doing something good. People go back and pull up their old history, their old ways. When God says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So look at this millionaire. Killed his friend. They said the confidant. The person that worked with you in real estate. Y'all done did deals together. Your wife come up missing. Today, people don't take marriage serious. It's just something to do. I'm going to be able to walk down the aisle in a gown and everybody's going to have their eyes on me. I'm going to have a very nice hairdo and jewelry and all this stuff. Afterwards, we're going to have a really wonderful celebration of a reception, as they call it. We're going to eat good, have wonderful cake, dance, and whatever we drinks and whatever we want to do. And when all of that is over, the show, the spotlight is over, and we come together to live in the same house, we soon find out we don't even like each other. But we spent all this money and went through all this hoopla. And God forbid a woman can't get a job or keep a job. The man will embarrass her in front of family and friends. He'll lose his mind. Because they don't have any respect for God or his word. Because if they go back in the word and look at what he said, he gave the man a place and he gave the woman a place. But today it appeared the woman want the man place and the man want the woman place. Ridiculous. The man sit home and play video games. He sit home and babysit and the woman go to work. This is crazy. This is not the purpose of God. So we've lost reality. We're out of touch with the realness of things because we feel it's our thing and we can do what we want to do. You can't tell me who to sock it to. I do what I want to do. Whatever I feel, if I feel today I want to be a clown, I'll be a clown. If I feel tomorrow I just want to be a lamppost, I'll be a lamppost. Nobody should have anything to say about what I want to do, but you're living in the same world with other people. And God gave rules and he gave man a difference within himself so that we can be distinguished. I know I'm a woman, so I should carry myself like a lady. I know he's a man, he should carry himself as a gentleman. I shouldn't come out today being a clown, 18 grandchildren, 8 biological kids later. I shouldn't decide to be a lamppost or a lioness or elephant. I shouldn't come out, I was born a female, but now I want to be a man. I should stick with the rules and regulations of God. And he opened the door that anything I need, my mind need to be repaired, it need to be healed, I can come to him for healing. But when I don't have any regard for Almighty God and I don't go to him for what I need, I'm out here looking like a fool. And a human being with human decency and human morals, they don't want to be bothered with you because your mind is not right. But then they get upset because I don't want to be bothered with fools. So they get upset. You try and talk to them and share the truth. They call you crazy. I remember one time Evangelist Maven said, yeah, it looked to you like the world has flipped upside down. Yes, it does, and it has. It's my thing. I do what I want to do is what the people are saying. However I feel and whatever I feel I want to be, I should be able to be that with no regards. But if you look back in the book, look back in the Bible, you'll see God destroyed many people. Because of that, it's my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, it's not yours. God made you for his pleasure. And he haven't killed you. He haven't destroyed you. He have patience. And he's waiting for us to fully come to him. The day that he sees that you're not really coming to him, it's time for you to go. Because why would you stay here using him? He's not like us. You're going to stay here and breathe his air. You're going to stay here and he made you for his pleasure, but you're going to please everything else. You're going to please your flesh. You're going to please the devil. You're going to please other men and women, but you're not going to please God. God forbid. So today we want to be careful and we want to always look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. We want to remember this today. We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Okay, the enemy taking my mind. I want to run to God because I'm lacking wisdom. And I came to you and I said, I do. I said I wanted you to forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and live forever. But today my mind is leaving me. I have some issues in my mind because that's where it all starts. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, I need you to heal my mind because you gave me power. You gave me love and you gave me a sound mind the day I come to you. The day that I said I do and you saved me at that altar and you made me yours. I got power, love, and a sound mind. But I need to activate it daily. I need you to show me the right way to go in my mind. And I want this mind to be in me. That was also in your son, Christ Jesus. He had a mind to obey God. He just wanted to please the Father. And he realized this. I didn't come here to do my will, but I come to do the will of him that sent me. If you were born, God sent you to do his will, not your own. And we've been so free and we follow TV and we follow what the world is doing. And we say we are his, but we don't want to look like him. We want to look like the world. And in many cases, we want the world to think that we are just as hip as they are. I'm not hip like the world. I don't want to be as hip as the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm passing through. This is my working ground. This is the vineyard that God created for me to work in. And one day I'm going to clock out for the last time and I'm going on to take my rest or he has returned. And when the work is completely done, he brought me back with him to judge the world. When all of this is done, he already prepared a place for me, that where he is, I may be also one day. Hallelujah. But we got to keep our mind on him. We have to remember these things. The church is flipped upside down. When it first started happening, the older people, they wasn't satisfied. They knew something was wrong. But somewhere in there, the elderly didn't go to God in prayer on one accord and say, Lord, what's going on? We got this pastor and he changing your rules and regulations. We want him out of here. But many times they went talking prosperity. And who don't want some money? Money answers all things. Who don't want a new car? Who is it that don't want the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy other than me? Who is it don't want to drive a Benz, a BMW? If I had to have a luxury car, it would have to be the Rolls Royce. That's my taste. But they talked all of these things and showed the people how they could come up with stuff and things. So many left God for stuff and things. They bowed down. They forgot the old teachings, the ways of God, so that they could get what they wanted. But we must go back daily to the old path and take a look around and choose whom we're going to serve. Go back to Genesis. Go back to the Old Testament. Go back and look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go back and see what happened to Moses. Even Moses, God chose him to bring the people out of Egypt into the promised land. But look what happened. In that disobedience. So we have to stay in a place with God. And remember, without him, we can do nothing. If not, we're going to get aggravated, agitated. Speak to the rock, he struck it. We got to stay in the plans of God in obedience unto him, because he loves us. And many things has been put in place for us. Well, all things that he created, put in place for us, is so that it will help us, not hurt us. But our flesh is against God, because our flesh want to be pleased. And many have turned to, it's my thing, I'll do what I want to do. And make excuses. Oh, I cuss a little bit, but God know my heart, and that's the problem. That's a big, humongous problem without people knowing it. You really know the very intent of your heart. And he said to put that filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, that's what he said. You can't have cursings and cussings and blessings coming out of the same mouth. That's a sign of a person without a sound mind. So we want to be careful. Focus more on him. Because if we keep our mind on him, not only will he keep us in perfect peace, but he'll tell us which way to go. He'll tell us what to say. And that was one of the first things I wanted to go, that cussing. Y'all ain't heard cussing because I stopped doing it. I mean some dirty, low-down mess. And I was so afraid I was going to cuss in front of the bishop. I was scared I was going to have a conversation with the church mother and cuss. God delivered me. He took that cussing from me. Took the trying to drink the Crown Royal and trying to drink the Budweiser. He took the desire from me. Laying with men I wasn't married to, he took those desires. Anything that basically wasn't of him, he took it. He took it. He took it. Yeah. So if we go to him with a sincere heart today, he will do it for us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're grateful unto him this morning because he's on our side. It's for us today. We just got to be for him. He's faithful unto us. We just got to be faithful unto him. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Back up. When you pray, put it on the altar before God and walk away. Try not to remember it if you can. When you look up, God has already fixed it. But when we keep just on it, he can't do anything with it because your mind is on it. That means you're still holding on to it. Because if you give it to him, let it go. Get up out of his business. Let him have his way in your life. You're going to get to see what he's done for you. Hallelujah. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. All right, Brother Louis, I'm coming at you this morning with this one right here. I'm going to dedicate this one to you.
I started out working on the building a long, long time ago. I turned around in a world of sin. I didn't work on the building anymore. I was lost in the heart of the wilderness. I was standing at the crossing of the road. I heard a voice speak soft and low, telling me which way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I wandered here, I wandered there. Months and years had passed. Had plenty of friends all the time. The life I lived was fast. When trouble came around me, all of my friends were gone. But I heard the same voice speaking in my ear, telling me to go back home. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. Finally did what the voice said. I turned and took my place. I'm working back, singing in the choir, God's amazing grace. I know Jesus, he loves me so. And this is how I know. That same voice speaking to me, telling me the way to go. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
There's a word I want to lift in your hearing, found in the Gospel of Luke at chapter 16. Luke at chapter number 16. And I want to commence reading in verse number 19. Luke Luke chapter number 16, commencing in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. But I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Thank you. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk tonight about an interview from hell. An interview from hell. I do not believe that there is enough preaching about hell. There's a whole lot of preaching about naming it and claiming it. There's a whole lot of preaching about blessings and heaven. And there's a whole lot of preaching about how to lose weight and how to get a man and how to get rid of a man. All kinds of cultural foolishness. But the Bible says that there is a place, a literal place, that burns with fire and brimstone. There's a place where the worm never dies. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are no windows in hell. There are no doors in hell. There are no exits in hell. There's no air in hell. But worse, there's no God in hell. Hell must be an awful place, that God would send his only son to keep us from going there. I had a discussion with one of my relatives who said, I just don't believe that God would create a person and send them to hell. We went around and around with that, and I finally came to say to him that I too do not believe that God would create anybody to send them to hell. God loves us too much to send us to hell. But God will allow you to go there if that's your choice. God sends nobody to hell. You go to hell because you refuse God's gracious invitation. I'm not going to hell, and I hope you're not going either, but I'm not going to hell because I haven't been invited. And my mother taught us, never go where you have not been invited. But I have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when it's all over, I'm going to heaven to be with God, because hell is not my destiny. I want to call this man up who's in hell and stand him up in Mount Zion Church tonight and interview him before these believers, that he might tell us about the horrors of hell. As unspeakable as the glory of heaven is, that must be how unspeakable the horror of hell is. Hell is actually a place. 162 times hell is mentioned in the New Testament. 70 of those times mentioned directly by Jesus himself. Hell is not a figment of your imagination. Hell is not a parable. Hell is not some place you just go, according to the Christian Scientists, and be annihilated. Hell, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, is no such place as hell, because the Jehovah's Witnesses say that God will eventually redeem everybody and nobody will be lost. Carlton Pearson, in his foolishness, is saying that there's no such place as hell. The Seventh-day Adventists say that all will be redeemed, and there's no such thing as a hell. Stephen Hawking, the theoretical physicist and cosmologist who wrote a book entitled A Brief History of Time, this past Friday, his remains were interred underneath the floor in a crypt in Westminster Abbey in London. He's buried in between Sir Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. Isaac Newton said, to worship Jesus as God is idolatry. Charles Darwin says that there is no such thing as hell. Stephen Hawking's voice was transmitted into space to the nearest black hole so that he would live forever in his voice in space. He's in between Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin, and Stephen Hawking himself said that I do not believe that there is a God, neither is there an afterlife, so there is no heaven and there is no hell. He's buried underneath the floor of Westminster Abbey between Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. Neither one of them believed in God. All three of them were atheists. I wonder what they're talking about in hell tonight. Because the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Brothers and sisters, hell is a real place for real people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are lost and on your way to hell. That's bad news. But the good news is you don't have to go to hell, because God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins, to rise for your justification, to keep you from going to hell. I want to call this man out of hell tonight and stand him up here in the Mount Zion Church and let him tell us about the horrors of hell. The Bible says a certain rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, who fared sumptuously every day. This purple that this rich man wore was the garment of royalty. The dye needed to make this robe deep purple had to be imported from Tyre. Scarlet and amethyst and rose, those colors, blue, were imported from Tyre. The linen underwear was the most expensive fabric in the ancient world, imported from Egypt. He had on purple robes with Egyptian underwear, and he fared sumptuously every day. The regular fare, the regular meal of people in that world was bread and soup and fruit. And they feasted only at weddings or ceremonial holy days. But this man fared sumptuously every day. Imported clothes, imported foods, the best meats, the most sumptuous delicacies, and he had to go through his gate every day to get to his mansion to put on purple robes, Egyptian underwear, and he passed a beggar ragged every day.
Yes, sir.
He goes inside his gated community, walks up to his stately mansion, goes to his closet, get his purple that's imported from Tyre, his underwear that's imported from Egypt, sits down at his lavish spread with imported meats and delicacies from around the world. And there are no napkins in that day, so he takes his hand and wipes his hand on bread that he could give to the poor, but he wipes his hand on bread and throws it on the floor and never even thinks about Lazarus. And here, brothers and sisters, Lazarus is the only man that Jesus ever names in one of his stories. Because the name Lazarus in the Greek is the Hebrew name Eleazar, which means God has helped us. But Lazarus is a beggar. He's ragged. He's poor. He's laid at the gate every day. This rich man comes to his gated community, goes to his stately mansion, puts on his purple purple robes dyed from Tyre, his Egyptian underwear, sits down at his table, fares sumptuously, wipes his hand on bread, and throws it on the floor, and never gives Lazarus a second thought. Lazarus is a beggar. There is no Social Security. There is no FEMA check. There is no money from aid for dependent children. He's a beggar. He's broke. He has nothing. He's at the gate every day. He's ragged. This man is rich. Lazarus is down and out. This man fares sumptuously every day. But then all of a sudden, the scene changes. There is a simultaneous juxtaposition. Both of them die. They die on the same day. Because the Bible says that Lazarus dies and is angelically transported to Abraham's bosom. The rich man dies and he's buried. Listen to that again. Lazarus dies and goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man dies and he's buried. If you don't know God, when you die, all that will happen to you is you're buried. Everything that you are, everything that makes you you, goes in the ground with you if you don't know Jesus Christ. But if you know God, you are angelically transported, because to be absent from the body,
yes, sir,
is to be present with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
When this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, the believer has another building, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Both of them die, Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man is buried. But I want to call him up and stand him here in Mount Zion Church tonight and interview this man so he can tell us something about what's going on in hell. First thing that comes to mind for us from this man's lips is in hell, he is conscious. He sees Lazarus. He's aware. He has all of his faculties. That there's no going to hell and burning up and it's all over.
All right.
In hell, you are tortured forever.
Mm-hmm.
No windows, no doors, no exit, no air, no God. You can try to die and won't be able to.
Come on.
There's no getting out of hell. There's no getting incinerated and then it's all over. No, you are tormented in flames forever. I could handle hell for about 13 seconds. But I can't get with that forever situation.
All right.
No air. No windows. No doors. No light. No God. He hears the screams of the tormented.
Uh-huh.
He feels the flames of the wicked. And he sees what he could have had. Because hear me, brothers and sisters, hell is filled with memory and remorse.
God have mercy.
Memory and remorse. Because in hell, he sees Lazarus. I want to show you how God has a sense of humor. When this rich man was alive and on earth, walking through his gated community up to his palace, going to put on his purple and fine linen, sit down and fare sumptuously at his table. Every day he walked down looking down at Lazarus. But now he's in hell and he has to look up at Lazarus. I need to say something to you, Mount Zion. Be careful, folk you pass by and act like you don't know them and act like they're not on your level and act like you better than them. Every saint in here has a past. And every sinner in here has a future. Have I got a witness here? Be careful how you treat the stranger. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. This country will go to hell if we keep mistreating people on our borders and not taking them in. What you going to do with that passage of scripture that says it would be better for you that a millstone were tied about your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea than to cause one of these little ones to go astray? What happened to that scripture that says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not? For of such is the kingdom of heaven. What happened to the scripture that says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me?
Come on.
I was naked and you wouldn't clothe me. I was sick and you wouldn't come to see me. Outdoors and you wouldn't take me in. And the evangelical church will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry?
Come on.
Thirsty.
Yes, sir.
Naked. Sick and in prison. And Jesus will say to them, inasmuch as you did it to the Salvadorans, inasmuch as you did it to the Hondurans, inasmuch as you did it to the African Americans, inasmuch as you did it to the Native Americans, you did it also unto me. I'm trying to get away from that because I feel my pressure going up every time I talk about this. But Trump is the president of these United States because of this country's fascination with celebrity and wealth. And the white church, and it's starting to happen in the black church, we are starting to worship wealth and people who have it.
Come on.
Our heroes are not the brothers and sisters in the church. Our heroes are fools like Jay-Z and Kanye West and Beyonce and them crazy people. Them people don't know nothing about God. Give me some old person in church who comes to church every Sunday, knee bent and body bowed, and giving God the glory. That's my heroes. Mm-hmm. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When I was a child growing up in my little town in Louisiana where I'm from, we used to laugh at those old deacons and praying the same prayer every Sunday. I can still hear Brother Richard Walker right now. He get on his knees and said, "Lord, here I am. Once more and again. Knee bent and body bowed. Thank you for a reasonable portion of my health and strength." Then he said, "I thank you that the bed I laid in was not my cooling board. And the kibbles that I laid in," he never would say cover, he said kibble, "my kibbles were not my winding sheet." And we'd go home and I'd put some old glasses on and my brother would be an usher and my sisters would shout. And I would pray like Brother Richard Walker because we were playing church. Somebody ought to help me here. But now that I'm almost 60 years old, I get on my knees and say, "Lord, here I am. Once more and again, thank you for a reasonable portion of my health and strength." Have I got a witness here? When God has been good to you, don't you ever forget who it was that brought you. Don't you ever forget that it was nobody. Jesus said, "What you do to the least of these, you did it also unto me." America is going to have to repent for how we treat the stranger. But the Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers. For some have even entertained angels unaware. But I've come to Mount Zion tonight to say that the flag is not the cross. The Constitution is not the Bible. And God Bless America is not my doxology. I'm here tonight because stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet strayed from the places where our fathers sigh. We have come over a way that with tears have been watered. We have come treading a path through the blood of the slaughter. I wish I had one or two witnesses here. I don't ever want to forget when I was down, God came and picked me up. When I was nobody, God pulled me off the streets, sanctified me and forgave me. And I can't walk by you and act like I don't know who you are. Listen, Lazarus is in heaven, and the rich man is in hell. And he doesn't go to hell because he kicked Lazarus. He doesn't go to hell because he misused Lazarus. He's in hell conscious because he ignored Lazarus.
Yes, sir.
He ignored him. He didn't see him because he couldn't get anything from him. He couldn't do anything with him. He was not in his social strata. He was not in his economic class. He was a beggar and nothing and nobody. But when the scene changes, when the script is flipped, Lazarus is in heaven looking down at the rich man. And the rich man is in hell looking up at Lazarus, and he's conscious. He sees, he hears, he feels, because hell is a place of memory and remorse. Because in hell, he's trying to run it. In hell, he's still trying to be a shot caller. In hell, he still think he got it all going on, and he can order folk around, because he says, "Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to come down here and dip his finger in some water and put it on my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames." In hell, trying to run something. In hell, lost. In hell, trying to be all of that. Ain't got nothing. He's in hell. Broke. In heat. Suffering. Tormented. And he's trying to give Lazarus orders through Abraham. Still think he's better than Lazarus.
Come on.
Abraham said, no, we ain't getting ready to do that. Because there's a gulf fixed between you and us, and we can't go where you are, and you can't come where we are. But Abraham says something that chills me in my shoes. He says, remember? Remember? And then memories start cascading in of when he had a chance to go to church. He had a chance to hear the gospel. He had a chance to do right by his neighbor. He had a chance to put his name on a church roll. He had a chance to do the right thing. But now that he's in hell, there is no chance for any of that. And Abraham says, do you remember when you had it like that and Lazarus was broke? Now Lazarus is being comforted and you're being tormented.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember? Lazarus is angelically transported. The rich man is in hell. And in hell, he's conscious and he remembers. Not only does he remember because of his consciousness, but in hell, not only do you have consciousness, this man is now concerned. All of a sudden, is Father Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Father. In hell. He had a chance to sing all these years, but now he's in hell. Father Abraham. Kind of like some of my relatives. They all get saved when they go to the pen. Everybody's a preacher when they come out of jail. If they're not a Muslim, they're a preacher. Come on, talk back to me. You got some folk like that in your family. They're all spiritual and they got a Bible. That lasts about 2 months. I had one of my cousins, Reverend, named Gary. Gary went to jail and he came back a Muslim, had his little Muslim outfit, dashiki on, and his cap on his head pulled down, and he's assalamu alaikum. And he came to our house, and my mama was cooking a pork roast. And you could smell that garlic all the way down the street. And Gary said, "Mommy, give me some of that pork." I said, "Gary, I thought you was a Muslim. I'm going to get a little piece of this pork first." Everybody gets spiritual in jail. Everybody gets spiritual on that deathbed. Everybody gets spiritual when you're in trouble. Everybody loves the Lord when it looks like you ain't going to make it. But soon as God brings you out, then you turn your back on the one you say you love. But there ought to be somebody in here tonight who know that God's been with me ever since I left the gates of hell. And I know too much about him for you to try to make me doubt him. He's concerned. He said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. And there's a sermon in that, because just one drop of water from heaven can quench all the fires of hell. But he said, no, and Lazarus is not doing that, because when you were here, you had all your good stuff and wouldn't remember Lazarus, and now Lazarus is comforted and you are tormented, and there's a gulf fixed that we can't go where you are, and you can't come where we are. He said, well, send him to speak to my brothers, and send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, and I don't want them to come here to be tormented in these flames. Abraham said, they got Moses and the prophet. Let him hear them. Then he said, no, Father Abraham, they will be convinced if somebody rose from the dead. Let me run that by you one more time. They will be convinced if somebody rose from the dead. That man is conscious. He's concerned about his brothers. Too late, I might add. Because he had an opportunity to witness. He had an opportunity to join church. He had an opportunity to give his life to Christ. He had an opportunity to share his wealth with those who were less fortunate. He had an opportunity to be an usher, to be a deacon, to sing in the choir. He had an opportunity to give his money in the church and share the tithe and the offering. He missed all of that opportunity because he fared sumptuously, wore purple, and imported underwear. But now he's in hell, conscious and concerned, and finally convicted.
Yes, sir.
He's finally convinced that what he's heard all these years is true. I wonder what Robert Ingersoll, the great agnostic, who said, I have no respect for any man who preaches Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I wonder what he's talking about in hell right now. I wonder what Steve Jobs, who invented the Apple phone, said that there's no such thing as a God or a heaven. I wonder who he's dialing in hell right now. Steve Hawking and Charles Darwin and Sir Isaac Newton, all of them claim that there was no God. And 1 second after death, they had to meet the one that they claim did not exist. The wages of sin,
yes, sir. Come
is
on.
Death.
Yes.
But the free gift of God is eternal life. This rich man is in hell, and he is convinced that hell is a real place for real people who reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If you don't know God tonight, I don't care how much you teach Sunday school, how many years you've been preaching the gospel, because you do know you can be in church and still be lost. You can read the Bible and never meet Jesus Christ. You can sing God's praises and never know the God you're singing about. You need to be convicted and convinced tonight that you better come on the Lord's side. Because there's power in the word. There's healing in the word. There's deliverance in the word. There's joy in the word. There's hope in the word. There is salvation in the word. The word has power, I tell you. Because that word saved me one day. Down in Louisiana where I was born, I came to Jesus as I was.
Yes,
weary, worn, and sad. But I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. Is there anybody here tonight? Know that old ignorant preacher told you that there was a man named Jesus. Or maybe it was an old Sunday school teacher. who told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you were raised in a house with a mother and a father who made you get up on Sunday morning, put some clothes on, and go to church. You didn't like it then, but you sure appreciate it tonight. Maybe there was some old person in your neighborhood who told you that there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are ways of death. I said, I'm glad about the word. I'm glad I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Laugh at me if you please, but I'm going to church on Sunday morning. Talk about me and say, it don't make sense to go to church every week. Well, it may not make sense to you, but you don't know what God has done for me. You might say it's silly for you to always be in revival at Mount Zion. Well, God's been so good to me. God has opened so many doors for me. God has answered so many prayers for me. God has dried so many tears for me that I'm glad to be in the service just one more time. You might say, Reverend, it don't take all of that. Well, you ought to speak for yourself. It don't take all of that for you. But you don't know where God brought me from. You don't know what God has done for me. He brought me from a mighty long way. Is there anybody here? No, God's been good to you. Is there anybody here can testify that God has opened a door for you? Is there anybody here glad your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If God's been good to you and you're not ashamed to testify, if God brought you out and you don't care who's looking at you, if God has made a way for you and you don't mind testifying, why don't you hug somebody? Why don't you grab somebody? Tell them you don't know like I know. You can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord has done for me. I'm through now. I'm trying to get in my seat now. But Abraham told the rich man, they won't believe even though one rose from the dead. But I believe tonight because one rose from the dead. He was born in Bethlehem, reared in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan. He died. Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he arose from the dead. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. Here, does he walk with you? He talks with me. Have you tried him? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground? Say yes, 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 yes. I know he's all right. Thank you.
testify. The devil thought it, but then my life was over. He thought by now I can't fall. He thought by now I give up. The devil thought it, but my life was over. He thought I had no more. He thought I had no more. The devil thought it, but that my life was over. He thought by now I knew. He thought I had no more. But that's when someone greater lifted my situation.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Todd Tribbett this morning, and he turned it. Hallelujah, he turned it around for us. Yeah, it was heading in the wrong direction. Oh, but God is able this morning. And so we thank him, thank God for Pastor Terry K. Anderson, and an interview from hell this morning. Faithful unto the Lord, that he's on our side today in spite of us. And what we must do is look to the hills from which cometh our help. Again this morning, all of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And what we have to do is stay in prayer in this hour, 2022. From January 1st to December 31st, we want to be in prayer daily. We want to remember God. We don't want to get so overwhelmed by the stuff we're hearing and what's going on and what they say they're going to do to us. No. We serve Almighty God that has all power. He can turn it around. I waited for him to turn some things around. Hallelujah. And he turned that thing around real quick for me. And I'm grateful unto him this morning because there's none like him. We can search all over. You'll never find anybody greater than Almighty God that so loved you, so loved us, that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. I'm grateful to him this morning. I tell you, I appreciate him. I love him today. Hallelujah. It was him that first loved us. And if we can have a praise by ourselves, you don't need people. Begin to lift your eyes up to God and begin to tell him thank you as far as you can remember back. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for yesterday. God, I thank you for bringing me into this new year. Begin to tell him thank you. I tell him, Lord, I thank you for the time, the day that you delivered me out of the prison doors. Lord, I thank you for bringing me home safe from the hospital after having children. Lord, I thank you that you heal my feet. Oh, so many things to tell him thank you for. Hallelujah. And go on and have your praise service by yourself. I love good gospel music because it inspires me in Jesus and it encourages me to continue to walk with him. All this other stuff, it's natural foolishness. I don't have time. But he turned it. I believe by Jonathan Nelson or John P. Key. In the middle, Isaac Carey. Joe Metal, My Everything. New World Song, People Get Ready, There's a Train Coming. Oh, yeah. Working Man, I'm going to work unto God while it's day because when night comes, I can't see. I get things done. I work for the Holy Ghost. I work for the Son. I'm a working woman. Oh, yes, I am. I'm a special agent of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luther Barnes, Spirit Fall Down. All these type songs I listen to because it caused me to praise God. It'll cause me to ride down the street and tell him thank you. It'll cause me to look at YouTube and tell him thank you. I'm reclined on the couch. I'm looking at YouTube. John P. Key is singing it just for me. Hallelujah. Todd Gelbert, For My Good. Yeah. He could have turned me loose. He could have let me go, but he held on to me. He thought I was of worth. hallelujah, unto him today. When God shines his light on me, that's one of my favorites right there. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Van Morrison, when God shines his light, you're my hiding place. His name is even a place where the righteous can run in and be saved. But we got to stir up God in us and stir up the gifts that he has given to you. I told you, I had no clue once I got saved how much I would love being saved, how much I would love living this life unto Almighty God, how much I love coming out of the world. I had no clue it was this good. But he told me in the beginning he was going to make my life better than it had ever been, but don't go back. I didn't understand. I just didn't want to go back. He said, because the body should surely lay down and never get up again. I didn't understand that either. I thought I was going to be crippled. No, he was talking about physical and spiritual death. I'm so glad I made it my choice this morning. Hallelujah. There's nothing I have to worry about. All I got to do is let it go. Let go. He come right in and take care of it. Many days it's not the way I want him to take care of. Well, Lord, I want $10,000. That's not what he's giving me, no $10,000. But he fixed the problem, and he fixed it in a way I don't even need money. Lord, my knee hurting. Please stop the pain. It continued to hurt because I would continue to eat and do what it took to get the pain, to keep the pain. When I let go of the wrong foods, He stopped the pain. Hallelujah. Even got me in to get the shot. I went way back in December thinking I was going to get the shot. They put it off to the 5th of January. He said, look here, they don't know what they're doing over there. Come on over here. Let me shoot you in that knee and see what happens. And at first I said, oh, this didn't do nothing for my knee. Yeah, because you still got all the weight. God is faithful unto us if we could but be faithful unto him. I want to say Happy New Year to you this morning, buddy, Pastor David Jackson. Happy New Year. I didn't see what you had sent me, and because I didn't see it, I didn't say anything. But Happy New Year, and God bless you over there. And I know you're yet spreading his word where he opened a door for you. And we're just grateful unto the Lord. He's on our side today. And every promise he has made us, he will fulfill those promises. Many times it'll look dark and dreary and we just go on because we're not even thinking about it no more that he's going to fulfill the promise. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. All of a sudden, here it comes. And suddenly, here come the promises of God. Hallelujah. I love him for it. I love him for it. Thankful unto him this morning. Grateful unto him. And listen, continue to tell yourself, yeah, the best of my year will be the rest of my year. The best of my year will be the rest of my year. Yeah. Sometimes the year start off a little rocky. I've been there before. But as it progresses on, February, come on in, the ending of February, God, or the middle part, God start blessing. March come, ooh-wee. April come, my goodness. When May come, oh, he just done open up the windows of heaven, it appears, and pouring out blessings upon that. I don't have room enough to receive. The key to it is to wait on it. I don't care what they say, what they're doing, what it looks like. Wait on God. He's got the answer to every one of our problems. And he's going to solve it if we will allow him to. Hallelujah. I can't run to the soothsayer. Yeah, I can't run to the palm reader and all them people, the psychic. No need. His word told me what he'll do. His word told me where I'm going to be if I can but trust him and wait on him. Because I found out if I trust him, he will provide. Ah, yes, he will. So I'm thankful unto him this morning. And listen, I have a prayer I want to pray for us. And we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, the studio is open. So if there are any testimonies, anyone have anything they would like to say, feel free to press that number one this morning and come in. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, your word is a lamp unto our, it's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Father, you sent us words of encouragement, words of wisdom. And Lord, if we'll follow your word, we'll be in good shape. No need for us to worry this morning, for you have it all under control. Father, it's you that keep the sun and the sky and the moon back from the earth. Lord, you continue to bless us to breathe and to move. And we're thankful unto you this morning. And Father, I come to you, touching and agreeing with your people this morning. And God, you have sent a wave of finance like never before unto these your people. Lord, send a wave of finance and get them out of debt. Let them become debt free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, send a wave of finances their way, the things they were not able to have for themselves, they'll be able to purchase it. Money answers all things. The earth is yours, Father, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And Father, if you send a wave of money their way, finances like never before, Lord, it will encourage your people in you and help them to remember that we touched and agreed and we asked you for this wave of money and that you heard and you answered the prayer. Father, do it for your people this morning. Help us all to keep our mind on you, Father, for it's you that would keep us in perfect peace. Help us to continue daily to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. Father, we don't want hell to be our home. We want to go back with you when you come. Father, we want to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Stir up your gifts in us. Help us to be obedient unto you at any cost. Fix our hearts this morning and regulate our minds in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We bow down and worship unto you, for you're more than worthy. We ask this morning that you not only hear today our prayer, but Father, that you would answer it. And we ask it all this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. Father, we give you the honor and praise. Again, in Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for hearing this morning. Oh, yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for doing it for us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. There's none like him. And I'm going to tell you, when I know God is moving, I just get all besides myself. Because I know he not only he heard, but he's going to answer. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I just need you to praise him. Yeah, I just need you to begin to tell him thank you for what he's doing. Thank you for hearing and answering that prayer. Father, I touch and agree with her that you would bless us in this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And what I tell you is already done. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful unto him. Ooh, that we can do all of this. We can talk to him about anything. Hallelujah. He show us something. We can pray right then and there about it. My goodness. We going to this next with Mr. Joe Metal this morning and My Everything.
Yeah. Jesus, you're my everything. Yeah. My everything is you, Lord. Yeah. Oh,
everybody's here.
Message today. Thank God that you even showed me
how God can have his way when man says something. That man did all those horrific things. Yes, he did. Man sentenced him to life. But God says, I know when your life will end. I don't know if that man prayed to God, and like the man with Lazarus with his purple robe, and God said, I'll deliver you. Just like he told the man that was on the cross with him, you'll be at the right hand of my Father. We don't know if that man went to knees on his knees and said, Lord God, forgive me. And God delivered him out of what man says he should serve. God says, okay, sin is done. Mercy came and got him. This is why God don't give me power. Because me, he would have still been down there in prison maybe 100, 300 years later. Because I've turned a deaf ear. That says I still need work on me. But I need the word from the pastor bishop this morning, stating how this rich man walked past a poor man. And when the rich man died, he seen the poor man's favor. And it was nothing he could do about it. Lord, I want to see your favor while I am alive. You have come to me in my sleep and say, Jerry, get up. I need you to start thinking of inspiration to give out. I need you to start praying for the healing of this earth. And Jerry, you get angry when people take from you. I need you to start praying that I work on your heart, because I don't want nobody around me with a mean and unclean heart. So I'm praying, Lord, clean my heart, because you know who I am, and I'm a very emotional person. I give you the last thing I got. Barbara, you know I will. I might not have but one $10 left. But if you say, I need it, here you go. They might be lying, because Barbara, you were showing me that a person didn't need my last. They was holding $67, and I told that person I had out. How much did I tell her I had, Barbara?
My last $10.
This is my last $10. I give it to you. Who does that? Now I'm asking God to work on my giving, because your giving can become a curse to you. You giving her your last, and you told her, okay, baby, this is my last $10. You take this. But a friend named Barbara say, wait a minute, Jerry, hold up. Hallelujah, thank you. This is why God has put me in your life, because where I'm weak, he's going to help you help me to know, go to God. Just the other day, I was ranting and raving because a person had took my card and just spin it like it was their own. Was I angry, Barbara? Well, how did she get angry? Because she give her last. And now, you know why I was angry? Because I'll give you my last, but don't steal it from me. Because the money is not that important. It is the disrespect that you do to me. Don't tell me you love me. Get all of my money from me and walk away from me. I've now built up a dirty heart, an unclean heart. Let's not get angry because people swindle us out of what we have. Let's ask God to show us what we should and should not give. And let's not be selective with our giving, like, oh, I'm only going to just give to Barbara because, you know, she's worthy of it. No. You give where God tells you to give. And I promise you, I hear God when he tells me who to give and when not. But my disobedience, I still give, because I hear the sad sir, Jerry, we got to remove, and I don't even have that $500 deposit. Well, they know you got a credit card, Jerry, and there's a $600 limit. But, baby, I give you the $5 because I still got $100, right? Of course they're going to say, right, you idiot, because now you got to pay interest on money that they got for free. They didn't have to come to God. They came to you. You're not God. Lord God, teach me when, because I'm not the Savior. So my new thing to everybody is, oh, yeah, you know what my first name started with? Jerry, you know, today. That's telling me. Yeah, you called my name Jerry. You didn't say Jesus. I am not the Savior of the world. But I want to be a good servant to the Lord. I want God to know that I'm here. And, Lord, if you tell me to give it to him, you're going to give it right back. I thank God when I'm giving and when not to give. Barbara Jean Pittman, Mike. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for saying, Jerry, Jerry, hold up, hold up. Yes. Because, you know, she's wild and crazy. She's still wild. So I got to work on it because she goes, hey, Barbara, what's going on, girl? I heard the mayor of New York talking to Gail. When he said goodbye to her, you know what he said? I got to bounce. Oh, you still got to work. You the mayor of New York, and you're saying I got to bounce. Everybody is watching what you say, mayor. You got to what? I got to bounce. So I told God, thank you that you're teaching me how to speak. Everything ain't got to be Jesus, 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 Jesus. Something you can say, hey, Barbara, how about all that cake I ate at Christmas? We laugh about it. Cause we can laugh, too. But, Barbara, how about God done changed my eating habits? Every day I find something green to eat or drink if it's nothing but dessert. Because I ask God to help me with my language, help me with my eating. Use this church that you said that I am to do the right thing by you and not be stupid because my mouth got to eat. And girl, just last night I dreamed about coconut pie. Oh, I was praying and everything all of a sudden. That Marie coconut pie. Popped in my mind. I couldn't even go back to sleep. Kept thinking. I said, okay, God, you know what this is. Release it out of my mind. This morning I got up. I ate a chicken biscuit and drank the V8. Because I said, I got to put vegetables in this vessel. I didn't say I had to go vegan. I didn't have to go vegetarian. But I must the right thing. I must watch how I speak. I can't say I serve the Lord in every other word. Cursing like a sailor. When I call my sister every day, the way she answers the phone, I hear in the background cursing. And then she'll say, hey. I said, girl, why are you cursing with that yellow phone? I don't know. Just slip out my mouth. So I'm praying for God to help her with her speech. We all need some cleaning up in some areas. Barbara, I'm still that type. I'm that cast-time type. You still got to clean me out. I need to go in the burning fire, and I need to be in there for a minute. But one thing I have learned, I trust God for finances. I don't even have a problem with that. Oh, girl, I'm not even worried about that. I don't care how many times they call me. Girl, I'm not worried about that. Last night, Montgomery Ward called me. I said, I might as well go ahead and answer them. I went, hello. You know, acting crazy. But then God spoke to me and said, don't be stupid now. Be real. I told the man, sir, I'm in financial trouble. I'm in a lot of financial trouble. You didn't put me there. I allowed the credit cards to come to me because I wanted this credit card so bad because you all had one item that I wanted so bad. I will pay you with the help of the Lord the end of this month. And then when I hung up, the man said, oh, thank you, Ms. Crowell, for taking our call, and thank you for being sincere. When I hung up the phone, I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you to show me when there's a time to pray and when there's a time to play. I'm telling us all, this earth needs a healing. I heard Mr. Jermaine yesterday state about his daughter had COVID, although she had had a shot. I know that had to upset him. But I'm afraid that his daughter and the family gets well, and he gets that job that he called on the radio show and asked us to pray, because I'm still praying for that. And I hope Brother Jermaine gets that job, Barbara. So let's keep him in prayer. And good morning, Brother Louie, Brother Frank, Brother Anthony, Brother Jermaine. Uh-oh, Gerald, you naming this to me. Watch yourself, watch yourself. I'm coming to the women. Sister Rose, Sister Rita, Sister Sion. I don't know where God is taking us. Sister Rita and Sister Rose, Sister Sion, Sister Simone. But God is going to take us women in higher ground. Today I speak we millionaires. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but we are millionaires because God did not put us on earth not to have. Barbara, you're a trillionaire because you're the leader. And whatever you have falls down on us. So, Sister Barbara, have a good day. And I have talked and talked and talked. But you know I can go because I like to talk and laugh. Your son is up, Barbara, because I told him. We're going to see you today. I told him last night, my God, he'd been up since 6 o'clock this morning washing his hair and grooming himself. I said, where are you going? You, Barbara? Oh, yeah, shoot, I forgot that I was in the bed. I said, oh, let me get up and take a shower. Thank you for entering. You've been in my life since a child, but thank you for now entering into my son's life. I appreciate you, Ms. Pittman. And I don't take you for granted. May God continue to bless you, heal you, and give you more wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Kevin said, yeah, he coming to see his friend today, so he getting it together. And
he's putting on some, he bathes with hay. He usually only bathes with just any kind of body wash. He got his axe on. You hear him in there clapping? He's popping his fingers. I'm like, where you going? He's going on a date.
Okay.
It just pleases him just to see you, Miss Barbara. It's like the lady said, if I could just push and touch the hem of his garment. Look at him.
God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And
he's so happy he's coming to see you, Miss Barbara. And it fills my house with joy because my baby wouldn't even go to daycare, you know, that they provide. He wouldn't go. But he was up at 6
Wait, Gary.
He got his Jesus in the morning on, and you can't tell him he ain't balling.
Okay. But when I see you, I have those forms, and I have the haircut information to you for you.
Okay. I'm trying to get a little package together for you. You know, I don't know, maybe, you know, some things you can use. They're not much. Maybe some wipes or a patch, hot and cold patch for your knee.
Now, Jerry, I am good.
I know that, Baba, you said the same thing I say. But what would God say? Press down, shaking together, blessings what?
Running over.
Yeah, and
you
got to remember, these things I'm giving you, Barbara, they didn't cost me anything. So why am I holding on to them in the linen closet, walking by them every day, looking at them? And you can use them. Now, if you can't use them, say, oh, Jerry, I can't even use that. I'm going to throw it in the trash. Oh, well, thank you. I can give it to somebody else.
Yeah. But just give it to somebody else. I already know. You hear me, Derek Cloud?
What?
Already know. You said heating pads or something like that.
No, they're knee pads. They're not knee pads. They're a hot and cold patch.
Yeah, I don't need the hot and cold patch no more, Jerry. I'm good.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, Jesus. So that's hope. That's more hope for me.
Yeah. That
you
weight.
You walking like
that
normal,
weight,
but you ain't got no pain?
Not like that, Jerry. That weight fixed it. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Jesus. What a testimony. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Father, continue to pray for me that I can lift my, I'm not that fat that I can't lift my legs. I've been so stiff with my back where I couldn't bend. But God gonna give me mobility.
Yes. Yes.
But I can stand up now, but it's a hard time. I can't bend over.
Okay.
But it's coming. I told God last night, I'm not in a rush. Look how fast you moving. And you got to show me how you're doing that thing in the chair and twisting.
Okay.
Because, you know, I sit right here. I can do it, too.
Yeah, you can.
Well, Sister Bob, I don't want to get off the subject. Let's get back to prayer.
All right. God bless you. God
love
bless
you.
Brother Lewis, God. Say, hey, Sister Jerry.
Hello, partner. Let's get us a Marie coconut pie. No. Stop it,
I say. Stop it. Stop it. Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him with pie. No. Right. Good morning to your Sister Rita. Good morning to your Sister Sion. And good morning to your Sister Andrea Stenner. And I think that's my buddy number. That may be my buddy number down there. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Sister Dr. Goodman. Good morning to you, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. I sent today's message already to you, Brother Frank. And good morning to you, Brother Anthony. And good morning to you, Evangelist Maven, Robin Lynn Maven. God bless you this morning. Thank God for you tuning in. Thank God for your post. I saw it over on your page. And I appreciate all you do for us over here. Thank you so much. Good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann and Sister Simone and Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, and Miss Deborah. Good morning to you, Sister Alexis, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Diane, Sister Angela, again, Sister Jerry, Sister Angela Foote, Mama, Sister Anna Lee Foote, God bless you this morning. we thank God today. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and good morning, Sister Claudia Boatwright. Good morning again, Brother Lewis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Cal, Brother Justin Gilmore, and Brother Mark Quez Griffin. God bless you this morning. Thank God for each of you. And I just pray we all are blessed this day and that God move for us. And good morning again, Sister Rita. I got your message. We thank God. He's on our side today, fight of us. He's looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. Things could be so much worse. But we thank him. We thank him today. We give him glory. We give him the honor and the praise, for there's none like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anyone else, the studio is still open. We have a little time. And while we're waiting for someone else to press the number one this morning, we're going to this one.
Everybody. to what His word says. God has
spoken. God has spoken. No matter how you're feeling,
amen,
or how your world is reeling,
amen,
battle on through the night,
amen,
'cause you're gonna win the fight,
amen,
even in the valley,
amen,
or standing at your Red Sea,
amen,
continue to say,
amen,
'cause your help is on the way. Let the church say, oh, lift your hands wherever you are and let the church. The word from the Lord, we've got it so.
Let
the church
say,
oh,
let
the whole church
say,
God has spoken. Well, let the church, let the church say, let the church say. To die,
amen,
knowing that God is not a man,
amen,
he just can't lie,
amen,
in spite of what,
amen,
what the devil does,
amen,
know you've got a word,
amen,
that has come from above,
amen.
Marvin Winans, let the church say amen. And that's the way we should be. Whatever God's word has said for us to do, we should just do it and say amen and walk away. Hallelujah. Knowing that if God said no on anything for us, it's because it's working for our good. He won't withhold no good thing from us. If it's good for us, he will give it to us if we ask. Hallelujah. So we thankful unto him this morning. We give him glory. We give him the honor and praise. And if no one else has anything they would like to say this morning, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your move today. Thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that what concerns us, small or great, it concerns you. And as we depart this morning, bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask today that, Lord, you would remember us in the things that we stand in the need of. Remember us today in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We can't thank you enough. We can't praise you enough. And Father, continue to bless us to know more about you. Continue to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word and of you. We thank you that we have you in our lives today. Hallelujah. For there's none like you. We ask it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have a blessed day, everybody. I'm looking for some praise reports to come forth. And we're telling God thank you for the praise reports in advance. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day. A blessed day. Hallelujah.